What up, what up? Welcome back to the There's More podcast. This is your host, Hannah Nitz, who's always excited, always ready to talk about maybe what I consider the best topic ever, which is enjoying our time with God. That's what the podcast is always about. Today is no different. And today we're going to tackle this commonly asked question or message that I receive, which is essentially, help, I'm bored in the Bible. So if you felt this way in the past or you feel it now, I hope this episode is an encouragement to you to no longer feel bored, but instead just delighted. So here we go. So being 3 years into doing this podcast, I'm starting to find it hilarious that I haven't branched out on a different topic yet. Like day one, what I was talking about is the same 3 years later. And honestly, it's the message of there's more. It's delighting in your relationship with God. It's enjoying time with Him. It's when you're hiding away in the secret place just with you and God, finding delight and joy in that instead of obligation. So some of these topics that we're talking about, like this question today, help, I get bored reading the Bible. I keep thinking, man, I know I've talked about this before. I don't even know if I should do another podcast episode on it because my poor listeners have heard this before. But you know what? Every day I'm hearing from people who are asking the same question. So what I've decided is as soon as every Christian is satisfied, delighting in their time with God, I'll stop talking about it. But until then, if people are still asking me, still messaging me, I want to experience what you're describing in this delight with God. Help, I get bored reading my Bible. Help, I am nowhere close. Everything feels obligatory with God. And like, I'm just doing the right thing, but not enjoying it. Your girl's going to keep talking. So have I said some of this before? Possibly. But sweet friend, I'm just so excited that people are asking and are hungry and are wondering and are desiring this, that I'm going to keep talking as long as you're going to keep listening. And as we're having this conversation, I get this question, help, Hannah. I get bored reading my Bible. I just want to say from the very beginning, I always feel like I need to start just with a small piece about me, a small piece of my story. It is not about me, but I think it's easy when you hear from a Francis Chan or a Jenny Allen about how much they enjoy time with God. It's kind of like, yeah, of course, look at you. You're a Christian author. But I just want to emphasize how much for 30 years, I was the person who would have written this question myself, like help, I get bored reading the Bible, or someone is talking about their time with God and I'm kind of like, good for you. I'm more of a people person. Okay. So just a reminder, dear friend, I am just like you. I don't actually know who you are. Maybe we are very different. I'm just trying to say I'm not a Francis Chan. Okay. But when it was this quiet time away with God or talking about devotions or quiet time or reading the Bible, I didn't get it. I didn't enjoy it. I was more into the group Bible study. I was more into the service project. I was more into like helping lead a camp for young kids to help them know the gospel. But this just like sitting alone with God felt boring. Capital B. So this is why I love talking about this, because experiencing the shift for me changed my life and I want everyone to taste it so I don't shut up about it. Okay. The more time I spend with God, the more I get to know Him, the more I'm like, man, this is what I was made for. This jazzes me up and delights me and satisfies me more than anything I've ever experienced. And this is what Jesus came to give. So I want you to delight in God and enjoy your time with Him. And that's why this podcast is here. So help, I get bored reading the Bible. What do I do? Man, the thing that bums me out the most in life, I should make a top five list. What bums me out the most in life? I should have thought about this more. I mean, I have so many answers, but here's one of the main ones. Bored Christians. It really bums me out. Another one that bums me out, discontent Christians. Christians who live in the land of FOMO, fear of missing out. These two Christians, there's no guilt trip. There's no, man, you should know better. There's no, ew, you're doing it wrong. I'm not saying it in a judgmental way. I'm just saying it bums me out. For me, it's like seeing a bird who never flies. It's like seeing a bird walk around on the ground, never using their wings. Because they're like, I don't know, I've never done it. I just have always walked everywhere and it's worked fine. And that bird, there's not judgment. I'm just like, yo, birdie, you are missing out on what you were created for. Like, lift up those wings, fly, feel the wind. Like, this is literally, you were created with wings so you would fly, not just walk around. This is how I feel when I see Christians who are bored or discontent. There's not shame. I'm not like, you're doing it wrong. I'm just like, hey, guys, you have wings. Get up in the air. Taste it. Experience it. This delight with God and this literal best adventure ever of walking with God, and he brings not just like delight with him, but then this purpose and this pouring out and this overflow that you can't help but bring God's spirit and his kingdom everywhere you go. And let me tell you, that is a great adventure. It has you looking a little weird, has you praying with strangers at the grocery store. But let me tell you what, that adventure is more exciting than anything I've ever been on, is when God brings me people that I get to start praying for, bringing his kingdom for, giving encouragement for, not because I'm in a good mood, not because I feel like I should, but because the spirit in me is so invigorated from God's presence that I can't stop talking about it. Like, I'm picking up peppers. I'm thinking of God's goodness. And this doesn't mean that everything's happy. This doesn't mean like, I just have the best days all the time and nothing wrong ever happens to me and, you know, I'm never sad. Like, no, there's the realities of life and there's sickness and there's hardness and there's difficult days and death and loss. But what it means that a bored Christian or a discontent Christian, my invitation to them is, friend, you have wings. We literally have access to our Creator. He pursues us. He delights in being with us and invites you to sit in his presence. And let me tell you, the boredom and discontentment that is wrapped around your heart will be broken by the Spirit of Christ alive in you. So last episode, I talked about pieces of this because I talked about what is the point of life. And essentially, I argued that it's delighting in God. So I suppose what this episode is to me is beginning to make that more practical. Now, what do we do? So most people, as they hear that and are like, okay, I want to delight in God, grab their Bible and sit down and open this puppy up. And they're like, let's get to work. Then what happens is they get bored. They're like, okay, if this is the point of life, I think I'm missing something. So let me get started with a couple verses as we're talking about this. I want to turn to Psalm 73:25, and I always think of my friend Noelle with this verse because this verse is so encouraging to me. She once admitted that she doesn't get it. She's like, why do you get so pumped about this verse? My husband likes this verse too. Whatever. Maybe it doesn't speak to you. It speaks to me. Psalm 73:25. Whom have I in heaven but you? And there is nothing on earth that I desire besides you. Now, I talked about this last week, this delight and enjoyment of God that I'm talking about. If you're sitting down and you're feeling bored with the Bible or you're feeling bored in your time with God, the guilt is not that you're enjoying things in life too much. The invitation is that you can enjoy God even more. And I love this verse, this passage here in Psalm talking about, man, there's literally nothing on earth that I desire besides you. And it's not because the things of earth aren't good. It's because our desire for God becomes so strong that the other stuff just doesn't feel as appetizing. And I love this as a goal. Like, I love this verse saying, God, that is what I desire for my heart to be. The verse I talked about so much last week. Yeah, right. Like, I podcast every week. Could you imagine? I'd like to be that person eventually, but your girl's hitting like 6 episodes a year. Okay, so you remember this verse, though. I'm freaking out about it in the last episode about the point of life. You make known to me the path of life. In your presence, there is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. Let me tell you a crazy thing that happened to me since the last time I was on the microphone. I started reading the Book of Acts for the first time ever. I've never read through the Book of Acts on my own. Again, remember, I've done the group Bible study. I've done the things at church. But this whole new adventure the last couple of years of being in God's Word on my own, not because someone's encouraging me to or because I'm going through a Bible study, but just me, God, the Bible. So this is me going through Acts for the first time ever. And this is quite the book. Have you guys read Acts? Okay, so I get to Acts 2. And essentially what happens is the Holy Spirit comes, which this is a whole other conversation that I can't wait to have with you one day. The Holy Spirit comes. The church begins. Like, Jesus has left. The disciples are there. Those who believe in Jesus are there and just watch everything that happened. And the Holy Spirit comes. And now God is alive in people's hearts. The Spirit of God is now in and with people. Peter stands up. And essentially the first teaching we get after Jesus leaves is Peter giving this sermon. And Peter's kind of like, all right, what just happened here? Like, what did we just witness? Like, he's giving this almost big picture summary of what we just experienced with these years of God, this gift, these years of Jesus, I mean, being on the earth, the death, his resurrection, the beginning of the church. And he's pointing to different scriptures, even in the, you know, Old Testament, where he's like, we just watched this happen. It's kind of like a pep talk as the church is beginning. Like, Peter's like the first church leader standing up and giving this message. This is a big deal. Okay. So this is Acts 2 is where you'll find this, essentially Peter's message. And your girl's just reading, you know, taking it in, la-di-da. Like, man, yeah, okay, this is a cool summary. All of a sudden, I get to verse 25, and Peter quotes from Psalm 16. So as he's talking about what they just experienced and what Jesus did, all of a sudden, Peter, having it in memory, quotes Psalm 16, 8 through 11. So he says, therefore, my heart was glad and my tongue rejoiced, my flesh also dwell in hope. For you will not abandon my soul to Hades or let your Holy One see corruption. You have made known to me the paths of life. You will make me full of gladness with your presence. What? So this verse, Psalm 16:11, that I have been using on this podcast for the last 3 years, the verse that has been so influential to me of this idea of his presence having fullness of joy and his right hand being full of pleasure, was something that I just thought was this random verse in the Old Testament. Come to find out, as the very church is starting and men and women are filled with the Holy Spirit and are just watching, have just finished watching what Jesus did, Peter stands up and quotes this verse. Like, he's literally saying, this is what you just witnessed, and this is what we're being invited to, is this pleasure and this gladness and this joy in the presence of God that now is with us and resides with us. What? I just about lost my mind. I was like, oh, apparently this is a big deal. This is the verse Peter chose to quote right after Jesus leaves and the Holy Spirit comes. And in the next chapter, he says something similar. Acts 3, in verse 20, he's talking about essentially us repenting, turning back from our sins and walking towards Christ, that your sins may be blotted out. Verse 20, that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. So again, hey guys, what did we just witness? Jesus just came. He just did all this. He died. He rose again. He left us with his Spirit. What was this all about? Man, and he's saying it even here, that refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. Right from the beginning, the church is invited to sit in his presence and enjoy the greatest delight. So when I hear from bored Christians, discontent Christians, bummed out Christians, essentially what I just encourage you to do is, man, lift your wings up. Like, how beautiful this is that we can enjoy God's presence. We can enjoy time of his word. We can delight in it, not out of obligation, but because this is what Jesus came to give us. Okay, so let me just read two of these questions that came in just this week. Okay. So I've been talking about this a little bit on Instagram, on the gram, and I got two different messages that really prompted me to say, okay, I want to talk about this more on an episode. I got a message from Leah. She said, hey, how do I start to read the Bible more like you do? For me, it feels like dieting. I know what to do and it works and it feels really good at first, but somehow I bite off more than I can chew. It's great for a while, but after a few weeks, it just feels not sustainable. Then I skip a day, then I skip 2 days, and then bam, 6 weeks go by. I've spent no time with God. Do you have any advice? I got another one from Aubrey. She said, I have never finished a Bible reading plan to get through the entire Bible. I feel this hunger of the Lord bubbling inside of me, but don't know what to do. We pray when our kids, we talk with them about God, but it's almost like God is an afterthought in my own life and in my own mind. I listen to Christian podcasts and sometimes I say little prayers throughout the day, but I know there's more. So both these messages from Leah and Aubrey, I responded to, but essentially just wanted to talk about more on this podcast that I could share it with others who have the similar question. Man, it's beautiful for Leah and for Aubrey, men and women who are saying, okay, I want to experience the fullness of joy. I carve out this devotional time. I grab my Bible or my Bible study. And I don't know, Hannah, it's cool, but it kind of feels like homework. And a couple days in, a couple weeks in, I stop prioritizing it because it's just like I'm back in school. Okay. So what in the world is Hannah talking about? So today I want to talk through what I would say to Leah or to Aubrey or to you. And I think this could end up being a 10-hour episode, and I'm doing the best I can to narrow it down and just hit with some of the main points. But what I want to do today is cover the five, I'm just going to say the five don'ts, the five can'ts, the five shouldn'ts in order to enjoy your time with God. And I hope the next episode to hit maybe with a part two of the things that we do, the things that are the yes. Okay. So today's the can'ts. And I want to start number one of the five things not to do, can't do. I don't know. Should have phrased that better. Things not to do, can't do. Number one, you can't do this without God's Spirit. And I cannot emphasize this enough. As I'm going through these, I'm going to list some Bible verses. And here's one thing I want to tell you. These verses that I'm going to read, that I'm going to talk to, are more important than any words that you're going to hear come out of my mouth. Seriously. If you are like cleaning the house, working in the kitchen, playing with the kids, whatever you're doing right now, if you can have a pen and a piece of paper near you and write down any verse that I say and read it later, I cannot tell you, like, that is the best idea you could possibly have. please, like, these are of utmost importance. If you're saying, how can I enjoy my time with God? Help, I'm bored in the Bible. Please, please, please dig through some of the scripture on your own, because it'll unlock some beauty of God's Spirit in you that my words alone will not do. So the place I want to start is, again, point number one, you can't do this without God's Spirit. We're starting this in 1 Corinthians 2. And man, the whole second half of 1 Corinthians 2, you could just stay in that for a long time. And I use an ESV Bible, and at the top section of starting in verse 6, the like header says wisdom from the Spirit. And one of the things as we're talking about this of enjoying time with God, of help, I don't know what to do with my Bible, the number one most important flashing in lights point, you can't do it without God's Spirit. And if you try, it becomes homework. And if you do it without God's Spirit, it becomes just another topic or hobby or historical lesson. There is something incredible that happens when God's Spirit, God Himself alive in you, working in your heart, your soul, your mind, as you're reading God's Word, reveals things to you, listener. That doesn't happen in a history book. Like, that doesn't happen if you're just like reading, I don't know, something else that's fun and I'm sure enjoyable for you to read. But there is a beauty in God's Word with God's Spirit. You can't do this without God's Spirit. And starting in verse 6, 1 Corinthians 2, we're reading about this. It says, we impart a secret and hidden wisdom of God, which God decreed before the ages for our glory. Verse 10, These things God has revealed to us through the Spirit. For the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God. For who knows a person's thought except the spirit of that person which is in him? So also no one comprehends the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might understand things freely given to us by God. What? Did you catch that in verse 12? God has freely given us things in his word for us. But what does it say? The Spirit who is from God. We have that in us. We are one spirit with God, of his Spirit, so that we can understand the things freely given to us by God. Verse 13, we impart this in words, not taught by human wisdom, but taught by the Spirit, interpreting spiritual truths for those who are spiritual. The natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are folly to him. He is not able to understand them because they are spiritually discerned. And then, I mean, verse 16 has got to be one of my favorite verses of all time. For who has understand the mind of the Lord as to instruct him? Okay, so if you just stop there, yeah, you're like, yeah, I know. Who could even know the mind of God? Like, this is a good question. Who could understand the mind of the Lord? Like, how would we even know what he wants, what his desire is, what he's trying to teach us, what he's trying to say? But that isn't where the verse ends. It then says, but we have the mind of Christ. Do you know this? Do you know that you have the mind of Christ? Do you know that you are one spirit with him? Do you know that the same Spirit that is in God and knows the depths of him is also in you? And you might be someone who's like, yeah, Hannah, I know it. I grew up in the church. I've heard this before. Okay, well then cut your ears off and pretend like you're hearing it for the first time. Okay? I'm serious. Some of this becomes maybe something we feel like we've heard before and we begin to tune out and we're like, yeah, okay, I need the Spirit in order to. It's like, no, 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 no. This is step one. If you are getting bored in the Bible, my encouragement to you, friend, is to read this, 1 Corinthians 2, and begin to talk to God about this. God, do I really have your Spirit? Are we of one spirit? Does verse 16 really mean that I have the mind of Christ as he thinks? Is that what I have? You cannot do this without God's Spirit. Everything in his word and from God must be discerned by the Spirit. And that's even what it's saying in verse 14, the natural person. So the person to your right or your left who is only thinking by what they know and the world around them does not accept the things of the Spirit of God because they are folly to him. He is not able to understand them because they are spiritually discerned. Dear friend, as you are digging into God's word, this is such an important place to start because we say, God, I don't want to look at this as a natural man. I don't want to look at this like any other book. I need your Spirit to help me spiritually discern this and help me see what it means to have the mind of Christ. Woo! Okay, next verse, Matthew 16, 15. This is another doozy. So in Matthew 16, 15, man, we're talking about Peter again. Peter's showing up today. Come on, Pete. Peter essentially in this passage is confessing Jesus as the Christ. Like there's whole conversation. Jesus is saying, hey, what do people say the Son of Man is? You know, the disciples are like, well, some say it's John the Baptist. Others say Elijah. Others say maybe one of the prophets. And then Jesus looks at him and says, but who do you say I am? Peter in verse 16 replies correctly, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus in verse 17 doesn't say, you're right, you're smart, you've got it. He says, blessed are you, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. Friends, as you are getting to know God, as you are spending time in his word, you can't do it without the Spirit. Even Peter, who is literally watching Jesus in flesh and blood do these miracles, do these teaching, when he gets it, like when he's beginning to understand and delight in this, Jesus didn't say, good, you're paying attention. He said, man, my Father revealed that to you. The only reason you're understanding what's happening around you, Peter, is not because of how smart you are, is not because you're paying attention, is not because you know how to look up the Greek or Hebrew word in scripture, is because my father revealed this to you. And what a beautiful invitation that Peter had of like, man, my father in heaven wants to reveal spiritual truths and goodness to me. And you know what's the best part? We have that same promise. That wasn't just for Peter. And that promise is in another verse. Write it down. Galatians 4. Man, the whole first couple verses in Galatians 4 are fire. But I'm specifically going to look at Galatians 4, 6. Where it's talking about us becoming sons of God. Like this adoption that we have into the family of God. And in verse 6 it says, because you are sons, God has sent the spirit of his son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through God. This is true for you. Do you know that, friend? So Leah, who wrote this question, Leah, because you are a daughter of God, he has sent the spirit of his son into your heart, Leah, that cries out, Abba, Father. This means that in us, in our hearts, in our spirit, it is calling out in our whole bodies to know and love our Father. And this isn't because we're really good at discipline. And this isn't because we are really focused, hardworking Christians. This is literally the spirit working within you, crying out for your Father, crying out for this relationship that you were made for. You can't do it without God's spirit. And that's step one. And what a beautiful thing that it's not on your shoulders. But it does take you recognizing this and sitting in this and saying, God, I'm not striving here. I'm not trying to work hard or prove anything to you. You trusted me enough, Lord, to put your spirit inside of me that it is calling out for you. You have given me your spirit to that I can discern the things from you. And then you have revealed yourself to me, as Matthew 16 says, you better know it. Let's go. Man, it's just like, it's such a beautiful invitation. He gives us his mind. He gives us his spirit to know him, to pursue this. And we start there as we're learning to enjoy time with God. Okay. Number one, you can't do this without God's spirit. Number two, this isn't about your Bible. It's about time with God. That sounds a little repetitive, but I just want to make sure that we're making this distinction here. If your question is help, I get bored reading the Bible. The second main point is it actually isn't about your Bible. It's about time with God. So let's turn to John 5:39. Write that down. Look it up later. And in John 5:39, Jesus is talking to the Pharisees, who we never like being compared with. And he's standing in front of them. And even again, as he's standing there in the flesh and blood, they're not believing. They're very skeptical. It's like, what's happening here? And Jesus says, verse 39, you search the scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life, and it is they that bear witness about me. Yet you refuse to come to me that you may have that life. And I just think this whole idea of us pursuing the Bible instead of pursuing God is not a new problem. I mean, here it is. The Pharisees themselves are so caught up in the words of God that they're missing the Son of God right in front of them. And this is what Jesus is saying. Man, you think those words, you think those scrolls hold eternal life, but it's actually me. Everything that you're reading is pointing to me, but you're missing it. So if your motivation is just about the Bible, I want to know the Bible more. You know what? I want to be someone who reads my Bible. You know, I just think it would be good if I was more disciplined in reading my Bible. These are good things. Okay. I'm not going to say that's bad. This is great. I want you to know your Bible. I want you to read your Bible. I think the Bible is the greatest gift we have truly as believers. But when your motivation in your heart is being someone who knows their Bible versus someone who knows God, this is another way we miss it. This is another reason why so many of us come and say, help, I am bored in the Bible. The Bible is a tool. It's not the goal. This means when we go into our time with God and when we go into our Bibles, our focus and our heart is, God, I want to know you. I do that through your word. But the focus is not, God, I want to know the Bible. It's, I want to know you. It is God himself who holds life, and we read the Bible to know him. We don't read the Bible to say we read the Bible. We don't read the Bible because this is what we're supposed to do. We don't read the Bible because, I don't know, I want to exercise, I want to eat healthy, and I guess I should read my Bible every day. It's not about your Bible. It's about God. It's about knowing him. It's about time with him. And to have this heart and to have this prayer of, God, as I'm in your word, don't let me even get distracted by your word, which is a weird thing to say. But at times we go and we switch into this like historical study where all of a sudden facts become more important than God himself. So number two, this isn't about your Bible. It's about time with God. The Bible is a tool, not the goal. Number three, help, I'm bored in the Bible. My other don't, my other can't, your other isn't, is I don't want you to be productive. For many of us, if we've begun to spend time with God, if we've desired to do this, we've created some kind of discipline that helps us get into this rhythm, which often means we're picking up either a reading plan, a reading a Bible in the year, or some sort of Bible study. And this is how a lot of us get started. And what I want to say is there's no hate on that. I'm sure that there are some people who are going through a reading plan, who are going through a Bible study, and they are absolutely delighting in time with God. This isn't and don't, this idea of I don't want you to be productive. The reason I say this and I push against reading plans and Bible studies is because if someone's coming to me and saying, help, I'm bored in the Bible, I often think that the reading plan and the Bible study is getting in the way of you enjoying time in God's word. Because all of a sudden it's kind of productive and there's the schedule and achievement and you have to cross it off your list and there's a certain number of verses you have to get through each day and there's a certain number of pages of fill in the blanks that you have to do each day. I'm not saying these things in and of themselves are wrong. Like, there are so many beautiful reading resources and Bible studies and Bible plans out there. Like, go to town. But if you are saying, I want to desire and delight in my time with God and I'm not, I'm telling you, ditch the reading plan, ditch the reading of the Bible in a year, and ditch the Bible study. I think these things get in the way. If they do, because here's what happens. I've done this before myself. We're trying to read through the Bible in a certain amount of time. We're trying to read through a book of the Bible in a certain amount of time. And we have to read 4 chapters a day. So when you're reading something and all of a sudden your spirit or something in you, aka your spirit, is piqued in curiosity about something, or a verse you read doesn't make sense. If you are in an achievement mindset and you're like, I got to get through this reading plan, you just keep reading because you're like, I only have a couple minutes of free time. I got to get through these 4 chapters so I can cross it off for the day. So you carry on, you keep reading, you finish your 4 chapters and you stop. Or let's say you're going through a fill in the blank Bible study and you're going through it on Ephesians. And as you're reading through Ephesians, you get to a thing you don't really understand. You're like, I still have 4 more pages that I got to fill in the blank, so I'm just going to kind of move on. One of the beauties, sweet friends, as you're spending time with God, as you are engaging this with God's spirit, he wants to reveal things to you. And when we are so quick to move on, to keep reading, to push through the reading plan, I don't think we give room for the spirit in us to do what we just read and cry out, Abba, Father. And cry out with like, hey, do you see this word? Like, as I'm spending time in the word and don't have this agenda, don't have this reading plan, don't have this Bible study, there are days that I get stuck on one verse for weeks at a time. And this isn't because I'm really smart or this isn't because I'm really slow. This is just because something in me is saying, Hannah, stop, look at this. Or something in me is saying, what does this mean? And guys, this is where beauty is unlocked. So can reading plans and Bible studies be great? Yeah, sure. I know that they can. But if this is newer to you, I want you to see what it feels like to begin going through the Bible with nothing else, with you, with God, with his spirit alive in you, and with his word. And when the reading plans and the Bible studies and the fill in the blanks move out of the way, productivity goes out of our mind, achievement goes out of our mind, and our only focus, our only heart is, God, I want to know you through your word. It's beautiful. And it's open-ended and allows us to bounce all over the word, not because we're trying to get through something, but because we want the heart of God. Okay, number one, you can't do it without God's Spirit. Number two, this isn't about your Bible. It's about time with God. Number three, I don't want you to be productive. I want you to know God. And number four, if you are bored with your Bible, what I'm going to say is you don't have a discipline problem. You have a hunger problem. Most of the time when I talk with someone who's bored in the Bible or bored with their time with God, they immediately tell me the discipline that they're trying to do. They're like, well, I wake up early, or I'm really trying, or I'm really focused on reading this every day and it's just not clicking. I'm just not enjoying it. And I think my friend Leah even said that great in her question. Like, she's like, man, for me, this feels like dieting. I know I'm supposed to do it and I know it works and I know it feels good at first, but I kind of just trail off because it doesn't feel sustainable. We're really focused on how do we make this a discipline. Okay, so just like the reading plan, just like the Bible study, there is good in discipline. I'm never going to say that there's not. But if we aren't enjoying time in the Bible, it's not a discipline problem often. It is a hunger problem. My friend Aubrey, as I started messaging back and forth with her, and was she had mentioned this, had also used like a diet analogy. That is what so many people use when they talk with me about spending time with God, is comparing it to a diet. And her and I had this conversation where we essentially landed at, we talk about time with God like it's a diet, but what I really think it is a buffet. It is a huge buffet with unending food and limitless enjoyment, but we're just not hungry. It's not a diet. It's not a discipline. It's not, man, I really got to buckle down and get to work. I really got to start getting to the gym more. It's like God has prepared this buffet of goodness, of fresh baked bread and homemade pasta and hand rolled cannolis and desserts. And we're just like, nah, I'm not really hungry. And this is a prayer that I have had for myself many, many, many times. And for many men and women who have come and said, man, I am not enjoying the Bible. What do I do? I take to the beauty of the Sermon on the Mount, which is right in Matthew 5, verse 6. Another verse for you to write down. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. I've talked before about when some of this began for me in learning to spend time with God and prioritizing it. It did take discipline. It did take me saying, okay, God, I don't spend time with you now. I never really have. And what I want to do is spend time with you every day. That was discipline. That was a choice of me saying, like, I'm going to make this discipline. But instead of just stopping there, because it's not a discipline problem, ultimately it's a hunger problem. For me, it was then saying, okay, God, I listen to these crappy pop culture podcasts every day. Somehow in my average week, I find time to watch this many TV shows. Somehow I'm scrolling social media for this many hours a week. What if it is that I am being so filled up from these other things in life that I don't even realize I'm hungry, that I don't even feel a hunger for you? Because all these other things feel pretty good and pretty filling. So this was not working on my discipline problem. This was working on my hunger problem. I said, God, I am not hungering for you. I don't wake up and hunger to spend time with you. So grow this in me, Father. And praying for this and saying, God, I want to be hungry. I want to be filled with your satisfaction. And that has to come out of my hunger. I'm going to remove these things out of my life, not out of discipline, but out of a growing, wanting to grow a hunger for you. So friends, as you're looking at spending this time with God, man, this is such an exciting invitation, but don't just look at it as something you have to discipline yourself into and diet your way into. There is a buffet of delight and goodness of our Father waiting for you. Are you hungry? And number five, don't focus on you. I did an episode about this called something along the lines of like, is your quiet time about you? But essentially realizing that for a lot of years, anytime that I did read the Bible, anytime that I did engage with God, it really was focused on me. It was really focused on how do I change? How do I become a better person? How do I deal with this? How do I get wisdom for my marriage? How do I get wisdom for my parenting? How do I do what's right in these hard situations? Now, is this beauty that comes from time with God and time in His Word? Yes, that is a great gift. But let me tell you, the greatest delight that you will experience doesn't come when even we have this question about us within God's word, but when we focus on God Himself. God, I don't want to just focus on me and on answering my questions. I want to sit with you. And friend, this is something that you know and experience in other relationships. Imagine we're talking about your spouse. Imagine we're talking about a friend. Let's say someone who really just appreciates you and who you are and the wisdom you have. And let's say that every time you're with this person, the main thing they're asking is they're asking for your wisdom for them. They're like, how would you handle this in my marriage? How would you go about doing this? What would you say I should do when it comes to schooling for my kids? Now, you leave that conversation and you think like, oh, okay, that's cool. Like they really respect me, but do they even know me? Did they even ask any questions about me? Did we even get to engage and know each other better? Or is it just these questions they're trying to grab from me? And man, this shift in understanding and enjoying time with God, where I'm like, God, I love you so much. I want your eyes. I want your heart. I want your mind. I want to live out your kingdom come in all areas. But man, that comes from knowing who you are. As I'm in your word, Father, what does this look like to know you? As I'm reading through John, what does it look like for my main question to be, who does this say God is? What am I learning about Jesus? What is it, God's spirit? What does that mean that it's alive in me? God, my focus is not on me as I'm in your word, as I'm spending time with you. My focus is on you. And you know what? You can't do that without you yourself being radically woken up and changed and shaken and encouraged. Those are the overflow and the trickle that comes from when our heart and our soul is saying, God, I want to know you, and this is my focus. Father, may this just be the cry of our hearts that we are men and women who desire to know you and who you are. That all of this, any of this, is only possible by your spirit, by their Father revealing things to us, and by the reality of Jesus, what you did on the cross to bring us into this relationship with you. God, for anyone who's listening to this, who feels far off, who feels confused, who feels just discouraged on spending time with you, God, I just ask that you would radically remove that. And instead, may they be filled with a hunger, a desire for more of you, more of who you are. And you promise to fill us, to fill those of us who are hungry. So Father, may we be hungry for you and for who you are in all of our lives. So next episode, I really do hope to continue this conversation of help, I'm bored in the Bible, with a few more kind of practical tips. If you're sitting alone in a room with you and the Bible, what do you do next? So some of this conversation was bigger picture. It was like mindset. It was knowing God's spirit. A lot of these big picture truths, fighting against achievement. But next episode, I want to talk more about what you do. What does this actually look like as you're starting in John 1:1? What are you doing in this thing? So if you have any questions about that, please send them to me. You can message me through my website, hannahnitz.com. You can on Instagram. If we're friends, you can text me. Just anything at all. What questions you have about spending time in the Bible or getting into God's word, because I want to tackle those on the episode next time. And I can't wait. I want to make it super practical, and I want to make sure that I'm addressing exactly where you are. So hit me up. I really look forward to hearing from you. And friends, the only reason I do this, the only reason I'm babbling on, the only reason I record this and post about it is, friend, I want you to taste it. I want you to experience it. I want you to flap those wings up in the air and fly around in the breeze and say, there is more.